Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. Have you ever heard someone say to get your head out of the clouds? Well, tonight I'm actually going to tell you to go ahead and get your head back into the clouds and get a breath of fresh air. If you're a parent or if you deal with kids in any capacity, you know that sometimes you need to come up for air, and especially when you're changing diapers or when you're disciplining a teenager or when you're dealing with a problem marriage in your children's marriage. Regardless of the child's age, parenting can drain us so much that sometimes we just need to get up and get a view of parenting from heaven's perspective. And so tonight I'm going to talk to you about what parenting looks like from heaven. And there were two verses that actually came to my mind immediately when I thought about parenting and what it looks like from heaven. And those were in Revelation. And one of them, this is a great vision of what will be in heaven. If you have infants, you'll especially appreciate this. It says in the Bible that there will be no more crying in heaven. Usually we apply that to ourselves. We'll be so happy that we're not crying anymore. But when you have infants, it takes on a new meaning, that there will be no crying in heaven. And secondly, there's a verse that talks about another blessing for parents in heaven. It says in verse 8 of Revelation, or chapter 8 of Revelation, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Silence for half an hour. Now, that's a parent's view of heaven. But tonight we're going to look at some of the deeper meanings of what it looks like from God's perspective to be a parent, and to give you some insights that I hope will boost your faith, that will also encourage you in your role as a parent, and give you just a little more of a lift and a freedom from some of the burden that parenting can be. So I hope you'll stick with me for this half hour of Live from the Ranch. If you'd like to take a look at your message notes right now, I've put two scriptures on the screen that you can just read, and I'd just like you to pray over those and just say, God, I pray you'd speak to me tonight anything you want me to know about parenting. I'm just going to play a little bit on the piano, and if you would just read those two scriptures and just ask God to just speak to you during this message. Let me pray with you too. Lord, I thank you for those that are watching this message live or watching it later. Lord, I believe that you've put this message on my heart to especially encourage the parents who will come here to the ranch and listen to this message on the internet. And God, I know that you see the troubles they're going through. You see how hard it is to raise kids of any age. And God, I just pray that you'd encourage them, that these children are a gift from you, that you have in mind spiritual things for them, for their lives, and a purpose for these children's lives that are beyond what us as parents can even see. And also, God, that you would lift some of the burden of parenting off of us so that we would be able to focus on what you want us to do and not be so wrapped up in some of the day-to-day details, Lord, that bog us down. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some things in the Bible, in fact, most of the things in the Bible, that are given to us because we would never come up with them on our own. In fact, if we would come up with some of the things in the Bible on our own, God wouldn't have had to write them down in a book for us. But some of those things are so radical and revolutionary, they so challenge our thinking, that God had to write them in a book so that we would have his wisdom and not just rely on our own faulty wisdom. One of those pieces of advice is, for instance, in Matthew 5:39, where Jesus says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. That's not something you would normally do. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, you would punch them back. That's the instinctive part of our life, but God wants us to have control and self-discipline, so he calls us to turn the other cheek. And other things in the Bible like that. Well, there's a view of parenting that is portrayed in the Bible that also sometimes surprises us. And it may not sound like a surprise, but after I explain it, I think you'll see why it's so surprising. It's the concept that children are a blessing from God. Children are actually gifts from God, and yet oftentimes as parents, we wonder if they might just be a curse from God. We wonder if God has somehow cursed us with these children and their problems and all the issues and complications that they bring about in our lives. But that's not the case at all, and the Bible is very clear that children are a blessing from God. Here's a passage in Psalm 127 that says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. God says a man is blessed whose quiver is full of children. So when we have children and we receive that gift from the Lord, it's definitely a gift from God. And if you ask any parent who's tried to have children and hasn't been able to, they very much know the value of these children. And at some point in our parenting, we probably knew that value, but then there are days when we just wonder if this is not just some kind of trick being played on us by God. It's not. They're definitely a gift from God. Here's what Jacob said about his children when Esau asked him, who are these with you? And Jacob answered, these are the children God has graciously given your servant. Jacob knew that these were children that were gracious gifts from God. Now, that has some implications on our life. If these are blessings from God, if these are gifts from God, then we need to treat them as gifts. We need to make sure that we're not exasperating our children, that we're not frustrating our children, that we're not abusing our children in any way, physical or mental or emotional or spiritual, that we need to treat these like the most precious gifts that God could ever have given us. In fact, they are. And sometimes we forget that, and when we can have heaven's perspective on it and see these children as a gift or a blessing, then it will remind us to treat them as such. I know when I married Lana, I wrote my own vows to her, and one of the vows was that I believed that she was a gift from God to me, and I said, Lana, you are a gift from God to me, and I plan to treat you as a gift. Now, God has reminded me of those vows sometimes during the past 10 years of our marriage. If things ever get tense, which doesn't happen very often, thankfully, but when they do, God will remind me that she is a gift from God, and I need to treat her as a gift. And it really changes my attitude and my actions after I remember that and after God brings that to my mind, because then I am very much eager to see what I can do to please her and to help her, because she is a gift from God. It's the same way with our children. They are gifts from God, and we need to treat them as gifts. This was especially clear to me this week as we happen to homeschool our children. And we've got four kids now, and three of them are being schooled as small children. And we have a one-year-old as well, who this year is actually complicating things because we're trying to teach the other three children while we have this one-year-old who demands a lot of attention. And I was praying about that situation earlier this week as we get ready for teaching this fall. And I just was trying to say, God, you know, what are we going to do about this one-year-old? How are we going to handle this? How are we going to schedule the day? What's going to go on here? And it just seemed like such a complication to our lives. And I was trying to figure out, how are we going to deal with this quote-unquote complication in our lives? And as I was praying about that, I happened to open my Bible to a passage in John 10:10. And it's a passage that I had written some notes on earlier, about 2 years ago. And the passage is, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. It's a passage where Jesus is talking about Satan and how Satan is the one who kills and steals and destroys the things in our life. But Jesus came to give us life and give it to the full. And I was praying that over this baby that Lana was carrying in her womb at the time, because at the time we had just been through 4 miscarriages in a row. Over a period of about 2 years, we had lost 4 children through miscarriage, and it was a very hard time for us. And now she was pregnant again with another child, and we were wondering, would this be the next child to miscarry? And we had prayed for all the others diligently, and again I prayed for this one, and I wrote in the margin, "Lord, I pray this over our baby." And I signed it 9/25/97. I just prayed that Jesus would give this child life and life abundant, that Satan would no longer steal and kill and destroy. And then I wrote another note to myself on 10/4/97 in October, saying, "Again today, Lord, I pray for this child." And this week, as I was preparing this message and also praying about this complication of this child in our life, I ran across these 2 verses, and I hadn't seen them since 2 years ago. And I thought back, and I thought, you know, which baby was that that we were praying for? And it was our youngest, our 1-year-old, who now was this complication in our life. And yet it was such a blessing to see that that life actually carried through to full term and was born. And I had to write in the margin this week, I said, "Here our baby was born 1 year ago. And thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And don't ever let me see this as a complication again in our lives, for this is a blessing from you." And I tell you, it just changed my perspective. We still have to deal with the day-to-day struggles of how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to work around it? But I know that God will give us grace through it. I know that He will walk us through it because He has blessed us with this child. It's an answer to prayer. And we don't want to look at answers to prayer as being troublesome or difficulties in our life. There's a second point about the heavenly view of parenting, and that is a fact that children are spiritual beings. It has some implications knowing that they actually have souls within them, and those souls are headed for an eternal destiny, either in heaven or in hell. And that can make a difference in our life. Here's what a French writer wrote about this issue of us being spiritual beings. He said, "We are not just human beings having a temporary spiritual experience, but we are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience." I think that's very true because our souls will be around forever. When we've been in heaven 10,000 years, there's a song called Amazing Grace that says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Even after 10,000 years in heaven, we will still be going forward and going onward because we are spiritual beings in essence. And whatever period of life we have here on earth as temporary human beings is just that, it's temporary. All of these things will pass away. Now the implications that has on our child raising is that sometimes we get so concerned about the day-to-day aspects of whether they're doing this right or that right or what they're learning in school or how they're behaving or some of the other issues that are very much here and now kind of issues, that we forget to focus on their spiritual being. We forget that this life isn't all there is. And my encouragement to you is to focus on their spiritual life, not to neglect their spiritual life, not to neglect the things that are going to be important for eternity. Those things are bringing your child to Jesus. There's a passage in Matthew where the little children came to Jesus. It says the little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. The disciples didn't want the little children around. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." I want to encourage you to bring your children to Jesus, to let them come to Jesus. Bring them to church. Bring them to Sunday school. Get them a little children's Bible that they can read or that you can read to them. Pray for them. Pray for them at night before they go to sleep. Let them see that you believe in God. Let them see that there is a life after this life. Let them know that Jesus came for them as well. Let them not leave this earth without hearing that Jesus died for their sins so that they wouldn't have to go to hell, but that they could go to heaven. There are things much more important than how they do in the football game or how they do in the school play or even how they do in their marriage or how they do in their own child raising. There are spiritual issues in their life that we need to focus on as parents, because 10,000 years from now, their report card is not going to matter that much back from third grade. The issues that they were facing are not going to matter as much in the light of eternity. Now, some of those are very much going to matter, and they're going to determine some of the other issues and their marriage partners and their grandchildren and all of that. So we do need to focus on the here and now, but sometimes it's just helpful to get up in the clouds and just say, okay, what is important from God's point of view? What do I need to focus on, and what can I just let go of for the time? This is what it is to be spiritually focused and to realize that they are spiritual beings. The best way that you can show your children and teach them about Jesus is really to model it yourself. I know that I pray before every meal, whenever I go out, whether it's in public or in private, and I do it more out of habit than anything else. I do it because I love the Lord now, but as a child, we grew up and we prayed before every meal. I saw my dad pray, and he would bless our food wherever we were. And now I do the same thing, and I told him I'm so thankful that he would model that for me, because I do that now, whether in public or in private, because I just don't feel right if I don't do it. Some things, they say, are much better caught than taught. And we catch things from our parents. And if you are focused on God, if they see you praying before meals, if they see you praying at bedtime, if they see you on your knees before God, if they see you opening your Bible and reading it and looking to it for answers, then they will likely do the same. If they see you going to church, they will be encouraged to go to church. Likewise, if they see you not doing all of those things, they will probably not do those things also. So one of the best ways, the Bible says, to train up your child in the way they should go is to model it for them. Let me look at that verse with you, because it's very helpful and encouraging, especially if your children are straying at this point in their life. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." You may have read several stories about even pastors' children who have gone astray, and yet eventually they come back to the Lord because they grew up with that. They know that. They're familiar with that. And all those seeds that were planted while they were children will bear fruit later on in their lives. Even Billy Graham, a great evangelist who has reached millions for Christ, had a son, Franklin, who went off on a very wild period of his life for many years and was very much a prodigal son, just like the one that Jesus talked about in his story of the prodigal son who went off and lived his life in a terrible way. But then he came back to the way that he was trained as a child. And now he is preaching similar to the way his father did. And he's preparing to take over that whole organization and continue the ministry when his father passes away. So there is very much value in planting seeds while your children are young, while your children are growing up. Even if your children are grown now, and now you realize that God really does matter, you can still start now by modeling and demonstrating and teaching your children some of the things that you wish you had been taught as a child. It's never too late to start, and you can start right now. The third point that I want to talk about as far as a heavenly perspective, the first point was that children are a blessing from God, and we need to treat them as blessings. The second point was that children are spiritual beings, and we need to focus on their spiritual life. The third point has to do with who do the children belong to. Sometimes we as parents take great ownership and pride in our children, and yet ultimately we're not their only parents. Their parents are our Father in heaven. God says that each of us are His children. There's great comfort in this, especially for those who've had children that have gone astray, because we realize as parents that we can't do it all. We can't even do most of it. We can't do hardly any of it. in fact, because God is the one who is going to parent these children. Jesus called God his Father, and he taught all of us to call God our Father as well. In the Lord's Prayer, we all say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus told us to call him our Father, and the reason for it is given in 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We are children of God. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are adopted into God's kingdom, and we now have a spiritual father who is better than any earthly father we've ever known. As good or bad as your earthly father may have been, we have a Father in heaven who loves us with an everlasting love. This passage says, How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. When we realize that our children don't really belong to us, but they belong to God, it can do two things for us. One, it very much frees us from some of the heavy burdens that we feel as parents. Sometimes we think we can't take it anymore. We think we're going to explode. We think we can't handle their problems one more day. It's a great time to turn over those problems to God and say, God, you take over. I entrust this child to you because I cannot do it anymore. Would you please step in and parent this child? Would you give me wisdom to know how we can parent this child better? That's one perspective that we're able to actually just let go and give these children to God. And there's another perspective that we are also children of God. And that gives us a great freedom. If you grew up in a situation where your parents weren't very good models of the Christian life, they weren't very good to you, you can know that you have a Father in heaven who is a loving Father. And you may not see him that way right now, but he is. And as you pursue him, as you seek him, you can come to find that he loves you with an everlasting love. He will care for you like you've never known before. God is definitely our Father, and he will give us as children the wisdom we need to go forward. Sometimes we couldn't look to our earthly fathers or mothers for advice or wisdom or counsel. It's great to know that we can look to God for his wisdom, for his advice, for his counsel. And God is not dead, but he's very much alive, and he will speak to you. He will answer you. He will answer your questions, and he will walk you through what you need to walk through. So it's great from several perspectives. As far as entrusting our children to God, there comes a point where each of us will need to make that step of saying, I now hand these children over to you, God. Maybe that's going to be when the children are 18 and they leave home and they're going to move out and you're not going to have control over them anymore. And you're simply going to need to say, God, I realize I can't do anything else for them. You're the one who's going to have to take over. I have to trust you to protect them, to take care of them, because I'm not going to be able to do it. Some of you have had to do that at younger ages. You've been through divorces, and you've had to let go of your children at younger ages, and you're not around to parent them. You can continue to pray for them and just entrust them to God and say, God, I just pray that you would take care of my children, that you would watch over them, whatever the situation may be. You know, Hannah did this voluntarily when her child was very young, probably between the ages of 1 and 3. She literally gave her child to the Lord. If you look with me at 1 Samuel chapter 1, this is a woman named Hannah, chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. And Hannah had come to the house of the Lord, had come to the temple to pray, and there was a priest there named Eli, and she came to pray to say, God, would you give me children? I don't have any children yet, and I very much want children. And she was crying so much that Eli actually thought she was a drunk and said, Why are you drinking, woman? And she wasn't drinking at all, and she said, I'm crying out to God. I'm praying for a child. And she went home from that prayer experience, and she actually conceived and bore a child. And she said, This child belongs to the Lord, and I'm going to give it back to the Lord. And she actually brought it back to that temple. We read in verse 24, After he, Samuel was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." Hannah literally gave that child to Eli the priest to raise from that point on for that whole child's life. She went back to her husband, and she was blessed to conceive and give birth to more children, which she kept. But that first child she gave back to the Lord at a very young age. She entrusted that child to God. Now you'll notice that she didn't entrust that child to Eli, although Eli was the one that was going to care for it, but Eli was the same man who thought she was a drunk. Eli was the one who later we read in the Bible, had two wicked children of his own. In fact, they were so wicked that they caused Eli's own death, and Eli died because of the way he had parented those children. And so she even knew this and turned this child over to a fairly bad role model, a fairly bad example of what a godly man should be. And yet she wasn't turning it over to Eli at all. She was turning that child over to God. And if you read more about whatever happened to Samuel, he became one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. He was the one who anointed King David. He anointed King Saul. He anointed these people to become kings over countries. Samuel was raised to be a great man of God. It wasn't because Eli parented him. It wasn't because Hannah parented him. It was because God parented that boy. Hannah turned that child over at a very young age. I don't know when that point is going to be in your life. Maybe it's already come. But maybe you're at a point where you need to turn the child over to God. And there can be such a comfort in this. I know from talking to people who have done this, and I know just from my own children, just to say, "God, this is not my child. I am glad to take care of it. I'm glad to raise it. I'm glad that you've given this child to me for a time. But I realize at some point I'm going to have to give this child up, and I'm going to give it to you." I encourage you to entrust your children to the Lord. It will relieve a great burden from you. Plus, as you pray for that child, it will make a tremendous difference in their life. Your prayers really do matter. God really does answer them. The Bible says so. I've experienced it. Many people have experienced it. God is very real, and He will take care of those children. Not to say that they might not have hard times. Not to say that it's not going to be tough at times. But God will take care of those children, and He will honor you. He will honor your prayers, and He will honor everything you do for that child. I want to take some time to pray for you and to pray for your children and to pray for your strength and stamina in dealing with whatever is going on in their lives right now. There's a song that I wrote a few years ago just about praying for our children, and it's just called "Lord, I Pray for My Children." And I'm just going to teach it to you here. Maybe you'd like to pray this over your children. This song is actually on the website as well, on the CD, Clear My Mind, and you can listen to the whole song, and you can actually sing it there in your home or at your office to your children. But it's just a prayer of saying, "Lord, I pray for my children. I give them over to you, and I just pray that you'd bless their lives." So I'm just going to sing that, and then I will close with a short time of prayer to just pray for you and pray for your children. So if you'll join me for that short time of prayer, that would be great, so that we can receive everything that God has for us today.
Lord, I pray for my children. 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 pray for my children. Lord, I pray for my children. Lord, I pray for my children. Lord, I pray for my children.
Now what I do is I just substitute the child's name in there. I say, Lord, I pray for my, and I give the name of my child. Or Lord, I pray for my, and I just give the name of my children. And then I finish the song with a little bit from Jesus Loves Me, if you know this song.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves them. Yes, Jesus loves them. Yes, Jesus loves them. The Bible tells me so. Lord, I pray for my children.
Just pray with me.
Lord, I pray for my children. Lord, I pray for my children. Lord, I pray for my children. Yes, Jesus loves them. Yes, Jesus loves them. Yes, Jesus loves them. The Bible tells me so.
Children are a blessing from God, and we need to treat them as blessings. They're spiritual beings, and we need to be sure that we don't hinder them from coming to Jesus. We need to bring them to Jesus. And children are children of God, and we need to entrust them to God. This is parenting from a heaven's point of view. And I pray that your children would be raised in a godly home. The best thing you can do is to give your own life to Christ, to ask for His forgiveness for your sins, and then to follow Him all the days of your life. That will be one of the greatest blessings your children will ever receive, because it will transform and change your life, and it will make an eternal difference in their life as well. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do it today and become a child of God. You can do it right now by praying with me. Dear Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. I need your forgiveness and your mercy. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins so that I wouldn't have to. I do love him. I do ask for his forgiveness. And I do believe that you raised him from the dead. From now on, I confess that he is Lord of my life. And I will live for him forever. And the Bible says that those who do these things will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise from God. You will spend eternity with God from here on out. No matter what comes in this life, you can have that assurance. I want to pray that for your children as well, that they would make that decision to follow Christ, and that you would have that wisdom to guide them into that decision. Lord, I pray for the children of those watching this message, that you would draw them close to you so that they would become children of yours, God, that they would put their faith in Christ, that they would be godly children, and they would follow you and walk in your ways forever. God, help those parents who are struggling with struggles beyond what most people can even imagine. Things going on in their children's lives that they don't even want to talk about in public. God, I pray that you would encourage them in their faith. Let them know they can entrust those children to you, and then help them to do it. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope this has been encouraging to you, and every week we have a different message pertaining to different aspects of your life, so I hope you'll come back again and join me for another message live from the ranch.